the Hunger Challenge. There's flyers. You've got the flyers there with you. Go online to register. All the information you need is on there. It's 2 weeks from yesterday, Saturday, September the 7th. And this group is being encouraged to go to the 11 o'clock because the guys are going to do their thing, you know, at have their breakfast and then go to the 11. There is a 9 o'clock one, though. If that's, you need to go to that. Okay. But anyway, 11 is what's being encouraged to go to do that. We're going to pack about half the food we need here in Wichita. That 100,000, it's going to be 100,000 meals. And we need about 200,000, and the rest of it's probably going to be packed in Texas. And then, so it's going to be $60,000 to $70,000 worth of food, shipping $17,000. You know, it just doesn't get over there. It's going to South Sudan, okay, where we have orphanages and obviously hungry children and such there. And it was neat to see that picture up there. Hopefully we'll have the video. We've got a 1 minute time lapse. But you guys have participated, and the reality is that quick picture you had showed it's an assembly line where you pour in ingredients. Everybody's welcome, kids. At wheelchair people, there's 4 spots you can sit and do stuff. So I'm just encouraging everybody can come. Everybody can come and participate in that. Let me get the rest of my odds and ends out of here. Yeah, preferably sign up online. I'm glad you said it. Preferably sign up online. But I did put a sheet of paper out there by our table. So, you know, if you don't have online, all right, then, hey, feel free to put your name down there. And don't tell anybody, but if you forget all of that, just come. Okay, don't tell anybody I said that. Okay, I could get in trouble. Okay, let's go to the disclaimer, okay? There's a disclaimer. Okay, yeah, read this. This is a warning. This presentation may prove damaging to the comfort of your closely held presuppositions. Okay? God has me do that all the time. I kind of half did that, I think, with the guys, you know, the Bible study, because we talked about some things that may have been just a little bit different. I don't want anything, but this is dangerous for me to be up here with that. I'm telling you, okay? Because if I knock that over, I'm in big trouble, okay? With my wife, who will be here for the second service. She's a nurse. Her name is Lana, and she'll be here for the second service. She catches as much sleep as she can because she has to get up at 5 o'clock on the times that she has to go to work. All right, let me get my notes out. While I'm still moving, okay, this is a complete side note. If you have, but I tell you, when I was coming, you got to listen to God. I love that lady, you know, and Brad. See, I noticed I'm not the only one who does this, okay? I watched Brad over here. You know, it's a good thing you've got the guitar because your hands would be going anyway, all right? Wouldn't that be true? Okay, so I saw Brad. Every time he talked, he did this. I went, oh, hey, that's wonderful. Y'all are blaming it on me. Okay, so this is a side note that I feel like God wants me to always share, though, when I go preach. If anybody's having trouble sleeping, if you're having trouble with dreams, your grandkids are having trouble with dreams, if you'll put your Bible, not your cell phone, this does not work. If you'll put that Bible in the bed with them, 99% of the time, they will not have a bad dream unless they watch, you know, Friday the 13th, the 8th version or something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can cause a dream, but sometimes the enemy's just after us. The Bible in the bed literally wards off a whole host of harassing demonic spirits. It's the weirdest thing. Anyway, don't have time to tell you why I know that works. Other than I do it, all the kids, Lane and I sleep with it. And periodically, when I don't have it in the bed, I'll have a dream and I'll look and I'll go, I didn't put my bed. The nightstand does not work. I mean, you got, anyway, side note, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to go ahead and share that as well. So, disclaimer, you saw that. Okay, where's the water, the hose of the firemen? The poor guys got this, okay? When I did their Bible study, I was going 850,000 miles an hour, and I'm from Texas, so I usually talk a lot slower, okay? But people can listen like 10 times what we normally talk, so you can get it, but I'll do my best not to do that to you, okay, like I did the guys. All right, first scripture. I'm gonna go through a lot of scripture. I loved what the lady said again. Did they have her name for the Bible study? Okay, so you know, she's talking about going to the Bible. We have a lot of thoughts in our brains about God and how things work, and frequently we don't go to our Bible. And I find that for myself. I go, somebody will tell me, and I'll go, well, I don't think it's like that. And they'll go, yeah, here's what the book says. And so we're going to cover the will of God and decision-making, maybe different than you've ever had it dealt with. It stirred in my heart many years ago, and I just did a word study. You could go do this word study, but also, because I'm just going to read the scriptures and we're not going to post them all up there, all right, you don't have the handout, but I gave them my notes of all the scriptures. So if you go, that guy went way too fast, what'd you do that for, David? Then the office can print you a copy that you can look at. You don't have to try to look them up again. But here's why I'm here. The same reason, it's why we're all here. Okay, in Luke 4:18, which is also Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom," which is what we're after today in a sense, "from the prisoners, and recover sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free." We're all so distracted this morning. Joe, they got a great clock for you. What's the time? Because I want to say, so when am I done, including invitation? Is that 10? What is that? That's latest, so I need to try to stop before 10. I'm a clock watcher, so I'll go, can't tell that story, can't tell that story, can't tell that story. Okay, so I'll do it for us. But I've got a story I want to share at the end about souls and salvation as well, and so I want to make sure I get that worked in. Coming here, I went, God, and I even responded to Joe. I was like, okay, maybe I don't have the prelude, and maybe I don't have the postlude, maybe I just stick with the message. And I'm telling you, coming here this morning, I was talking to God, and I'm like, okay, God, do I do all three? Kind of pretty, okay. And I'm telling you, as clear as a bell, man, he affirmed, do it. Which just means I got to squeeze the middle, just to be honest with you. I just got to squeeze the middle, okay? Because I'm going to honor the time, okay? But, so you and I'm going to pray for us because we're all distracted. The video didn't work. The stuff that was, the song wasn't in order. We can be so distracted. And so I want to pray for us. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I just ask that your hand would be on the time. Lord, this isn't about me. It's not about Joe. It's not about who's up here. It's about your presence in the room. That's what it's about. And so I pray for everybody in here, including me, that my spiritual eyes and ears would be open and I wouldn't be distracted with all the things that could have happened or did happen on the way here and what. We're going to focus on you so that we can sense and feel your presence and that you can come and minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This is another prelude. Okay. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." Not whispers, declares the Lord. Get a grasp, guys. "As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I hope you live there. Because there's a lot of mysteries in here. And Jesus says to his disciples, just think about it, they're the ones with him. And he says, how is it that you don't understand, I'm talking to you about earthly stuff. How am I ever going to talk to you about heavenly stuff if you can't get earthly stuff? I'm just saying, we live there. So if you think you're going to figure everything out about this book, and if you think you're going to figure out everything about God, there aren't too many young people in here. The narcissistic age here that thinks everything's about them and they know everything is crazy. It is crazy. His ways are higher than our ways, and we don't get them all. That's called a mystery. Anybody here want to explain the Trinity to me easily? No, okay? It's a mystery. Salvation is a mystery. So when you got one of those mysteries, relax, all right? And go, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Maybe I'll get this before I come meet you, and maybe I'll know it when I get there. Okay, so my ways are higher than your ways. Then we got a picture of two of these bottles. Okay, look at those. Does labeling make a difference? They look alike. I bought two of them, okay? They look just exactly alike. One of them's for insects and one of them's for weeds. Now, when I go to my garden, best I pick the right one up. What's gonna happen? Now, they look a lot alike. If I'm not paying attention and I spray the wrong thing, I'm gonna, what, to my garden? I'm going to kill it because it's weed, you know. It's the kill everything weed killer, okay? You spray to kill it, right? The topic I'm going to be on this morning is the will of God in decision making, and it's labeling and going back to the Bible. If I was getting on the plane for the first time, and I was going to, or any time really, and I was going to have a 3-hour flight, these bottles are kind of similar. One of them says it's for travel sickness. I might consider taking that, or maybe the weather's going to be bad. Now, what if I take the one that says gentle laxative? Labeling is critical. Blood pressure medicine, which I write real big on there in case you can't see. Cough medicine. Does it make a difference? I got blood pressure issues. How many of these cough, you know, things are going to help me? Zero. Okay. All right. Labeling is sometimes critical. And because we deal with English, because we're taught what we're taught, and we don't know the Greek. I mean, I didn't take Greek and Hebrew. But I'm telling you, I love hearing people share that kind of thing. If you guys don't know Chuck Missler, does everybody know Chuck? Who knows Chuck Missler? Oh, boy, we got a good hand there. Okay. Anyway. If you can go online and listen to Chuck Missler, I'm telling you, I just get mesmerized by what he knows because he's done all this research. Anyway, that's a whole other side note, okay? So it's my job this morning, I think, to also present a teaching, which is the will of God in decision making, so you can put the one back up there that goes all over the place. Okay, when you and I think of the will of God and the will of God, what normally comes to our mind is, man, I want to do the will of God. I'm going to go to school, and I want to know, what's your will? Which school do I go to, God? Lord, I'm looking for a good job. I want to know your will in the job. I'm going to get married. I want to get the right wife. I want to know your will. Aren't those big decisions usually? I mean, we classify the will of God on it. Before we go, God, I want to know your will. Am I right or wrong? That's what we say. All right? The will of God, I'm going to read scriptures because it's imperative that we know the will of God, and it has almost nothing to do with decisions. Bing! Popped the bubble. Okay? It has almost nothing to do with decisions. And decision making. And because we've mislabeled, we miss what God has in store for us, both in his will and in decision making. Because we, 99% of the time, if we're saying, man, we want to know your will, we're thinking decision making. All right? Now, the will of God is critical. I think this is why it burns in us. Matthew 6:10, in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's important, but they're not marrying up there. They're not deciding what job to get up there. You got me? Okay, so to start off, Jesus is going, There's something going on up there that's supposed to be going on down here, and so we need to know what it is. And then, oh man, Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does the will of the Father. It must be important. But it doesn't have to do in general with the decision making that we're talking about. But it is critical. Okay? And so all I'm going to do is read and comment on scriptures related that literally have the words God's will in it, the will of God. And it's either going to say that to start the scripture or it's going to say that at the end of the scripture. All right? Simple word study gets you there. All right? And it's just in Isaiah 53:10. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his son's, Jesus' hand. John 6:40, for my Father's will, hang on to this one. My Father's will is that everyone that looks at the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. So what's the first thing that God's will is? It's all about Jesus. It's all about our soul. It's a soul thing. It's not a thing thing. You got me? It's not a thing thing. We'll get to thing things because I'm going to get to tell you the name. Most people in here are probably married. With the younger ones, I'm going to tell them the name of the person they're going to marry. That'll be at the end here. Keep you on the edge. Okay? All right? 1 John 2:17. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Wait a minute, we just got a contrast, didn't we? The world and its desires are on this side, which is usually what we think of. Who to marry, who to marry, what job to take, how much money am I going to make, where's my Rolex watch? And then the other stuff, the will of God lives forever. So this thing called the will of God is an area that's spiritual, that manifests in the natural. We're going to get there, all right? 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-8. Man, this is great. I got till at least 10 till or something. Wow. Okay. All right. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-8. It is the will of God that you should be sanctified, purified, spiritually pure, physically pure. The will of God is to be sanctified. And then he kind of defines it, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Does that have anything to do with what job to marry? Okay, it's avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control his own body, not having passionate lust. Is there a pornography problem around the globe? Well, if you're trying to find God's will, then you know it's the opposite of passionate stuff. And here it's talking about sexual immorality. All right? 1 Thessalonians 5:15 and 16. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong. Okay? But always try to be kind to one another. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Anybody heard this scripture before? For this is the will of God. So what's the will of God? Being nice, being kind, joyful always, pray continually. We're talking about all this prayer stuff. Hey, prayer, switch, maybe. I don't want to break too many bubbles this morning. I like saying chit-chatting with God. We've got this thinking of, you know, somebody says prayer and everybody goes, I don't want to go. Okay? You don't want to chit-chat with the creator of heaven and earth by yourself in a group? Somebody says prayer to me now, I'm like, where and when? When do we get to go chat? Now, you can chat with God anytime, so don't miss me on that, okay? But there are dynamics when you chat together, all right? There's dynamics when you chat alone. There's dynamics when you chat with a group. Mike Pompeo, everybody know who Mike Pompeo is? Okay. He's a level 2 friend of mine. okay? I don't want to act like, you know, okay, I know Mike Pompeo and he's going to call me, you know, once a week, you know, to get my advice. But as a as a chaplain, I got to pray for him just while he was a congressman. And anyway, so I have his wife's cell number and I text her every now and then. So to me, you know, level two, level three, it ain't a 10 or a 12. Okay. But he came to town and he was sharing about when he was first CIA director. And they every morning, like Trump gets up at 4. He's, you got to be ready at 4 o'clock to meet the day. All the big guys go line up in chairs outside Trump's office waiting on their turn. And so he, you know, would get his turn. And I'm thinking, wow, I wish I got to go sit outside Trump's office and hear the things that no one knows. Area 51. You know, I don't, you know, you know, who killed Kennedy? I don't. So anyway, you know, you got that. That in the world, we think like that. I'm telling you, I thought that. I thought, man, I'd really, that's incredible. He gets to go know stuff that none of the rest of us know. And man, I'd like to sit outside, you know, Pompeo's office, you know, and just be one of the guys. You get 15 minutes with him. And boy, I'm telling you, the Lord quickened my spirit and said, David, you can meet with me anytime you want, and I'm the creator of the universe. Wow! And I'm telling you, I've taken that to heart. I've taken that to heart. It's revolutionary. I don't know, it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was. And I'm telling you, it flipped a perspective for me, you know, of like, oh, right, God. Convict me that I'd rather be sitting outside any president's office or outside Pompeo's office or outside, you know, just name them. And I can meet with you. And sometimes we can have a group meeting with you. Because Jeremiah 33:3 says, ask of me and I will tell you things you do not know. That's what we're looking for, to go sit outside the president's office. Man, I want to know something nobody else knows. Yeah. Right? Well, God says he'll tell us some of that. He'll tell us stuff we can't know. I don't watch the news anymore. I just, because all I do is get mad. And then I spend the next hour talking to people that weren't there. Does anybody else have that problem? You know, I can't believe you said that. What do you mean? What's the truth? And anyway, I just had to quit. I don't have time for that. Okay? You know, if you can get on the internet and go find out, you know, make sure if there's a mass murder or something, you know, we need to know things to pray for them, but you can't trust, forget it, you can't trust the news. But we got a creator of heaven and earth, and he cares about us chit-chatting with him, and he'll tell us stuff we don't know, and he really knows what's happening. He really knows what's happening. Boy, long story short, I get dreams, real ones that are from the Lord. I get some that aren't from the Lord. You know, I had that this morning. Because I was getting a little anxious about preaching. You preach regular, Joe preaches regular. I can tell you, every Sunday, there's this little bitty nervousness going on. Okay? And so, I had a dream because of that. But God will show me stuff. And I had this dream, and Pompeo was in it, and a certain number of things were happening, and it was a three-part dream. And the last part was literally, I knew there was a secret agent behind a wall, and I knew somebody was going to come up with a manila envelope and hand him the manila envelope, and the secret agent, and sure enough, he hands him the manila envelope, and then the guy that brings the manila envelope throws a lit C4 bomb at him. Everybody know what that is? That's that plastic explosive with a fuse in it. And I went, no! And I grabbed it, and then I started playing hot potato with the C4 with the bad guy. And then I know, oh, it's going to blow up when I throw it this time. And I ducked. Sure enough, it blew up. I was worried about Mike Pompeo. So I called somebody who could, if he needed to, we could get further, if the dream needed to get to somebody. And again, long story short, this guy looks at me, and I 444, where's that 444 one? Okay. Frequently, God wakes me up at 444 to pray. that morning, and I'm sharing this with this law officer, and I said, you know, when they're from God, a lot of times I wake up, he wakes me up at 4:44, I know it's him, and this morning was 3:57, okay? He grabs his phone, he goes, click, 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 and he said, you know what you're supposed to be doing? Praying, chatting with God. You're supposed to be warring. 357 Magnum, man, you know what that is? And there's a 444 shell. You're supposed to be praying and warring. And in this case, God has a new assignment for you. You're supposed to be praying for secret agents. And I'm like, okay. And he said, I want you to watch this YouTube video about how they train them. And I want you to watch this YouTube video about some of the activities that were in World War II and some of their missions and stuff. And I looked at him and I said, I watched both of those last week. And when I was watching them, Lana, my wife, said, why are you watching those? And I said, I don't know. But then they were confirmation that God was doing something, okay? So you can get in on that with God. How did I don't think that was a rabbit. Okay, and the 444 on the clock, I'm going to tell one more. So this is a number, he wakes me up, and I know it's him, I get up, okay? Well, the other morning, it was literally 440. There's one more on there that's bigger, and the 444 is in the corner. So I got up at 440, and I'm like, God, is this you? This is just how neat God is. So I said, is this you that's not 444? And I walked downstairs. Maybe they can pull the other one up. And we got a big screen TV. I turned it off when I went to bed. The screensaver, I walked downstairs. The screensaver was on. That was the screensaver. And look what was in the corner. 444. Because what was I asking? I think, God, is this you this morning, or is it just me? And I mean, we're going to have a good time no matter what, but it's always fun when I know it's you. And I walk downstairs, the TV's on. How did that thing happen? How did that come on? God turned it on, and I walked down there at 444. And God, woo, he's incredible. Joyful always. God's will. So we're lining up. If I had a marker board here, we'd be lining it up, and I'd put what the Bible says the will of God is and what the Bible says it's not. 1 Peter 2:15. For it's God's will that by doing good. It doesn't say it's God's will that you find the right mate. Don't miss me. Don't hear what I'm not saying, because we'll get to decision making in a minute. God's will is doing good. You should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. So if you're doing good and you're living a sanctified, pure life as you can and repenting when you fail, you're doing the will of God. You're doing the will of God. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing. Do not conform any longer. Okay, don't conform any longer to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know what God's will is, his perfect will. Okay? And it all, we're not really going to like this one. 1 Peter 3:17. It is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. 1 Peter 4:19. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. All right? So, did you get it? I call it, so if you're taking notes on that sheet of paper, I'm about to give you a thing to write down. The will of God is the first three letters of the alphabet. What are they? A, B, C. Attitude, behavior, and character. If you're doing the best you can in A, B, C, just read the scripture. I read the scriptures to you. Those were A, B, C. That's all those were. A, B, C. Attitude, behavior, and character. As are the ones I didn't read. Okay? in Scripture. You have this confidence in approaching God that if you ask anything, what? If you ask anything, yeah, what? According to His will, you get it, okay? And we've had that mistaught. Man, I really want this job, God. I think it's Your will. Whoa. I didn't get it. I don't understand why I didn't get that job. I thought it was God's will for me to do it. No, the God's will. Now, we'll get to decision-making in a minute. Okay. It's attitude, behavior, and character. That's it. And if there's anything wrong with your attitude, behavior, and character, He promises you what? He can fix it. He can fix it. My goodness. Okay. I'm sorry. No, I got to tell this story. So I had a four-letter word that would come out of my mouth, a Christian since I was 13, but if I hit my hand with a hammer, it's the shirt one, spelled different. Okay. And I hit my hammer, I strike out in baseball, whatever it is, and that would come out of my mouth. And I'm, God, that is not holy. That's not righteous. I hope nobody hears me. You know, I think I'll cuss right now. Now, it's boom. Just flew out. It was behavior and character that was not godly, was it? And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I'm like, God, You got to take care of this. And then one day we had students live with us all the time, and so I was up trying to fix a leak in the water, and all of a sudden I twisted something wrong and water's going everywhere, and the students watching me, I didn't say that word. This was 25 years ago. I didn't say it. And later she said, you know, I couldn't believe you were so calm and cool and nothing happened and you didn't cuss. You didn't do nothing. And I went, oh, God, I didn't cuss. Because it was according to His will and I could ask Him that. Change my character. And be specific. God, that four-letter word is not You and Your character. Change that in me, and I watched it happen. Okay? 25 years, maybe a couple of times, and I've had plenty of opportunity. Okay? All right. Labeling. So, God will give you what you ask if it's according to His will, if it's according to A, B, C. You can look this up later, but the devil has a will. That's in the Scripture as well, and it's 2 Timothy 2:22. And it's all the other stuff, the bad side. So you can be doing the will of God, or you can be doing the devil's will. He has a will, a plan and a purpose to kill, steal, and destroy. But there's a passage, I don't ever remember seeing it before. It was in a Bible study I was with this week, and I'm like, I don't believe this. It says the will of the devil. Okay, it's there. So he has a will to change you. All right, so we're tying a knot in that. Hopefully you got it. A, B, C is the will of God. Now, God cares about decision-making, though. All right? And God wants to be involved in our decision-making. All right? Ooh. Can't break that. I'll really be in trouble. Okay. Here's the Scriptures for decision-making. Okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. The store, with your friends, with your work people, wherever it is, if you acknowledge Him, He says, I'll direct your path. Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, man plans his way, and God directs his path. Okay? That's what happens in an orchestra. Now, now, now. I love this because I get to do all this stuff. Okay, so, but did you see the orchestra guy doing that? Vroom, you go now. If we're listening, we know when because he's got an orchestra going. Okay? And sometimes you just sit with your instrument waiting for him to go, woof, and it's your turn. Okay? He cares about all of that. Isaiah 48:17, This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what's best for you. You can rest in him. He's gonna teach you what's best for you and who directs your way that you should go. Don't be, in Psalm 32:9, do not be like the horse and the mule who have no understanding but must be controlled by a bridle and a bit. So I almost brought all that stuff too, but you got enough up here. Okay? So we shouldn't be hard to move. You know, the people who have their horses the best, they just touch them. They just touch them and nudge them, and the horse goes wherever they want it to go. Are you that sensitive to the Lord? Are we? Am I? Are we that sensitive to the Lord's Spirit that all he has to do is nudge us? Okay? So that when we're making decisions, because he cares about decisions. All right, I'm gonna give a couple examples. Oh, yeah, we're still doing good. Ah, I can't forget who to marry and what job to take, though. But, okay, here's listening. It's the Holy Spirit stuff. This is a decision. I'm driving to Texas. I drive there a dozen times a year for hunger challenges, and we got family there now. Anyway, bottom line is, I exit. If any of you cross over from Oklahoma into Texas, there's this beautiful travel visitor center there. 99.9% of the time, I stop because I need to stop. Okay. This time, I'm doing fine, and I'm going, man, I got to get there. And you guys got to get wherever it is you're going. Okay. Got to get there. Okay. And I'm telling you, a thought came in. You hear me? A thought came into my mind. You stop. And I'm like, I don't need to stop. Stop. I don't need to stop. I don't know. This went on a little bit, and I went, I think it's the Holy Spirit. Just a thought. I think it's the Holy Spirit. So I pulled off the ramp, and right in front of me, coming this way on a one-way, is a car with an elderly lady in it. He cares about your decisions. But you got to be listening. Did I save her life, whoever else? Because you pay attention next time you go over there. If you're coming the wrong way on that ramp, there's a hill there. You're not going to see who's there. They're going to come up, meet you. Okay? Wow. Goodness. Okay? One more story. So, because this relates to marriage and stuff too. Okay, so I lost a wife to cancer in 2005, remarried 2 years later. But when you're remarried and you're old and I had 7 kids, she had 2 kids, and all those complications. Okay, so you're trying to make a decision. It's an important decision. God cares about your decisions. Okay, so this wasn't for you not to know God cares. It's to separate the two so you can do God's will, because that's the most important. So every time I would pray, as we got better relationship, every time we would pray, I would see a vase with 2 spouts. You can put it up on the screen, too. I see a vase with 2 spouts. And so as Landon and I were talking about it some, I said, I see this vase with 2 spouts. I don't know what it means. And her eyes get this big. She says, I know what it means. Anybody know what this is? That's what I saw. It's a Native American wedding pot. 2 people, 1 pot. You think God cared? Because we're wrestling with an important decision. Okay, he cared. He gave input. All right, always give him veto power. At the end of the day, when you're trying to make a heavy decision, you're planning your way, but always give him veto power. So that it could be as simple as me going by that exit. All right? And he had something different in mind. All right? I probably wouldn't be doing what I do today because I was a businessman for many years. I was going to buy a house, looking on a lake lot, and I told God, because we plan our ways, I said to God, I'm standing out there looking at the water, thinking I can come home every day and fish and goof off and whoa. And I said, God, I'm going to buy this lake lot, build this house, unless you know something I don't know. Scripture verse popped into my mind. An address. It's a proverb. It says, build your business before you build your house. I went to the, I had a Bible in the car, and I went and I go, well, did I ask him a question? Do you know something I don't know? And of course, the market, the oil market, went south 6 months later. I had to put myself on commission. I'd have been probably gone bankrupt. Might never be a missionary, might never be in this pulpit today, except I gave him veto power. Here's what I'm going to do, because man plans his way, unless you know something I don't know. And then listen, all right? Is there something he wants to tell us? All right. Souls is, back to the will of God, souls is the big deal. God cares about your soul. And he cares about it even if somebody's in a coma. Even if they haven't breathed their last breath, he'll take them home. We've got that kind of example with the thief on the cross, right? So you're praying for your children, you're praying for elderly people, you're praying for whoever, all right? Because God says, I get no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Doesn't make any difference who they are. I get no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and I want everyone to come to me. Had a guy on hospice. He was an atheist, published atheist, and he didn't want to see the chaplain, but I'd get there anyway all the time. But when they decide he's going to die in the next couple of days, so we were doing all-night watch and all that kind of stuff. And and I went to him, and I kind of gave him the presentation. He said, you know, gospel presentation. I brushed up on some scientific stuff because I just knew I could convince him. And at the end of it, he said, you believe what you believe, and I'll believe what I believe. And I thought, oops, that's the other guy on the second thief on the cross. Same information, right? Different choice. But I didn't give up. I said, God, you want none to perish, and you get no pleasure, even in the death of the wicked. You talk to him. You talked to him. He didn't want to go brain to brain. You go spirit to spirit. He went comatose. They went spirit to spirit. I said, God, you do something. Show yourself. Jesus, hell, whatever you want to do. 24 hours later from that prayer, I'm at my heart. I was at a luncheon. I get a phone call from the nurse's wife. She said, David, he's awake. And he's saying, Lord, Lord. She said, what do I do? She was a Christian. I said, you pray he doesn't die till I get there. Okay, and I went there, and I started, I said, I don't know what you saw. I don't know if you saw heaven, hell, Jesus, the devil. I don't know what you saw, but you know for the first time it's real. Because he was a real, he didn't believe it was real. And he said, what do, tell me what to do. Those are his words, Lord, Lord, tell me what to do. So I went through, and as I got to the sinner's prayer, basically, it was, tell God you're sorry for not believing he existed. It was all this science stuff, you know. Tell God you're sorry you didn't believe he created the heaven and the earth. It was about 10 of them, and I'm like, I've never done it like that. But it's God saying, this is what you got to apologize for, okay? And then I'm at the end, and I'm going, did you do it? If you did it, blink your eyes. Nothing, okay? And so I reached over. I always come to Joe. So I reached over and grabbed his hand, and I said, if you did it, squeeze my hand. And I got it. I got a little milk of squeeze of the hand, and I'm telling you, his countenance changed, the sense in the room changed, you could see it, and tears just start rolling down his eyes, and I just start singing hymns, because that's what's embedded in me, because I'm old, okay? I just started singing, and I'm telling you, he's laying there, almost dead, and while I'm singing, he raised his hand to the Lord. It's about souls. We can teach all this other stuff, and I was supposed to, but it's about souls. So if you do not know Jesus Christ, here's my question that I always ask the hospice patients. Is it well with your soul, and are you ready to meet your maker? And you can be young or old and not had that one figured out. Is it well with your soul, and you're ready to meet your maker? And you can be in church all your life, doesn't make you a Christian, just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Right? We've heard that. So we're going to pray right now. When everybody close their eyes, whatever song... Do we have a song? Okay. And if you want to come up and talk to somebody, you're welcome to. But I want you just to, I'd rather for at least a minute you just meditate. Who do you know if it's not you that doesn't know the Lord? You know the Lord? Have Him put somebody on your heart. Maybe that you don't know. A name. Give them names, Lord. Maybe it's people they do know. And not to give up on them. Not to give up on them until they breathe their last. And ask you to go to their spirit man, because their brain will not receive you, but go to their spirit man. So chit-chat with God, the creator of heaven and earth, because He's glad to chit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who needed to hear that this morning? Just stand with me. ABC. Attitude, behavior, character. I was thinking of the devil's will. Kill, destroy, and steal. To kill is an attitude of murder. To destroy is a behavior of destruction. Because when you have that spirit of murder, then it destroys everything around you. And to steal, that's a character issue. So it's a counter of God's will. The enemy's will is exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. So we have to know what camp we're in. We are the redeemed. God has called us to His will. What is God's will? Well, He's made it clear to us what it is. All these other things, they'll filter through it. But the most important decision is, are we part of the redeemed this morning? Have we accepted the gift that God has given to us of His love? But you know, it's not His love that saves you. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That's great. That whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not His love. There'll be people in hell who God loves because they didn't believe. But love made it possible for us to be able to receive this gift this morning. David, thank you for coming and ministering to us this morning. The question is, what do we do with what we've heard? We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. We don't want to just look in the mirror and go, oh yeah, and then walk away and forget what we saw. We want God to do something deep in our hearts. Amen? So I don't know. I know David knows what he said, but he doesn't know what you heard today. What you heard is what God is speaking to your heart. And what's cool is God oftentimes speaks many things in a congregation with one word, but God expresses it in many ways. So I want to encourage you today just to respond from your heart today. The invitation I want to give you is simple. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never said, yes, Lord, I'm saying yes to you as my Lord and Savior. We want to pray with you today. We want to pray with you. We're not asking if you come to church. We're not asking if you give in the box. We're not asking if you do all kinds of good things. We're not asking. Remember last week, Christianity, what's different from us and other religions? We repent of our righteousness. See, all the other religions of the world, their righteousness is their rent. No, our righteousness is filthy rags. It's Christ's righteousness in me. And so if you'd like to partake of that, it's not your behavior. You are accepted, and that affects how you live. You don't live, so you'll be accepted. God has given that as a gift to us today. It's the most wonderful news you'll ever hear. And today, if you have never accepted that and received that, today is your day. If you're here and you've already believed, you're already part of the family of God. But, you know, God spoke to you this morning, and He wants you to come to rest with this whole idea of decision-making His will and put that in the proper balance. I really need to hear that today myself. It's so easy to get that out of balance, and I think I might look at that a little different from now on. So I hope maybe that's your experience. If you need healing in your body this morning, what is God's will? He's told us that we were to call for the elders of the church, we're to anoint with oil, we're to pray the prayer of faith. How do I know to do that? Because God said to do that, so I'm going to do that. And if you just, or you maybe just need encouragement today, you need somebody just to put their arms around you and pray for you and love on you, that's God's will. Fellowship in that room over there, did you know that's God's will?
Amen.
It is. That's God's will. He wants us to connect together. So let's go. It's happening in heaven already. it's going to continue. When we go, it's all going to continue. So we get a little piece of it right now. Amen. Isn't that exciting? So I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to give you a blessing today. And then you're going to be dismissed. And you can go join us in the friendship room. But we'll hang around here. And David will hang around. Nancy, others, my wife. We'd like to pray with you. If you take advantage. It's a gift to you. Don't walk away and leave the gift on the table. When God said, I've provided this for you today. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for the opportunity this morning to hear this message. Lord, I do not know exactly what everyone heard. I know what I heard, and I want to respond to what I heard. And I pray that would be true for every person standing here today. And Lord, if there's anyone here in the hearing of my voice who's never really given their life to you, I pray today, Lord, you will draw their heart to you. Because I know if you don't draw us, we're not coming. But we have a part to play in that. And so, Lord, I pray that your will would be done here in this gathering here this morning. Lord, if there are those who just need a touch from you, I pray they'd open their hearts to receive all that you have, that they would drink from the water so that out of their bellies will flow rivers of water. Lord, we thank you for this provision. We love you. We love each other. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said, amen.